Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. We're going to be talking about Shavuos. We'll say some Shavuos Torah. We'll play an interview that we had with our Baron Lapiansky, a replay. And we'll talk about a little bit the times that we're living in. So I want to ask all of you a question. Aren't you downright fed up with the coronavirus? Don't you want to get on with life? Back to school, if you're a student. Back to yeshiva. Back to work. Back to minyan. Back to simchas. I mean, back to a normal life that we remember. This is just, it's like we're being put on hold. Somebody pressed the hold button in the dentist's office and we're stuck listening to the music. I want to suggest something radical to you. Maybe, just maybe, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And what does that have to do with Shavuos? You know, the Magen Avraham in Taf Tzadik Dalet says, yes, a startling question. He says, Shamati, heard the question. That says, Machlokes in the Gemara in Shabbos on Pei Dalet, when was Kabbalah Satira? When were the Aseres Hadibros given? The sixth day of Sivan or the seventh? Rabbanan say the sixth, Rabbi Yossi says the seventh. And he proves, the Magen Avraham, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi the seventh. So yes, a startling question. Take out your calendar. We celebrate Shavuos on the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah was given on the seventh day. So he says, how could you say Zman Matan Tarisenu when it's the wrong day? That's the crux of the Magen Avraham's question. I want to suggest an answer to you. And I want to ask another question. Pesach, the name of the Yom Tov, is for the miracle that occurs. Pasach Hashem al Batei Bnei Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is for the day it happens, not for El. Yom Kippur is not named after Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's named for Yom Kippur. Shavuos is the exception. What is it? It's named not for the Kabbalah Satira. It's named for the weeks, the Zayin Shavuos, Sheva Shabbos Yisrael, that precede it. Why is it named for what precedes it, as opposed to the day itself? And I want to suggest that Ruchnius, service of Hashem, and in general, the more spiritual, the less materialistic anything is, what we celebrate is not the end result, but the journey. And I remember one of my first transactions I did, this is going back a long way in business, I was supposed to wire money into somebody's account for a deal. And the bank did it late in the day and they said, the wire is going to go out in the morning. So I told the guy, the wire was going to go out in the morning. And he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry, you're not in the deal anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, we're not in high school. Efforts don't count here. It was supposed to be here by 5 o'clock. It's not. And you're out. And I still remember that till today. But you know what? It's like that in business, efforts don't count. It's just the end result. But not just in Mili Dishmaya, but even in relationships. Let's say you have a fund manager. He's make a fortune. He made $50 million that year. And he's very happy. And he brings his wife home a $10,000 diamond ring. And she's going to look at the ring. She said, you made $50 million. You brought me a $10,000 ring. What do you think? I'm a piker? Like, what is that? Whereas you could have a humble, simple day laborer who saves up and saves a dollar here and a dollar here, and at the end of the month, he brings his wife a gift for $100, a tiny little ring, and she's elated. Because when it comes to love, ruchnius, spirituality, it's the exact opposite. Its efforts count more. The journey counts more than the arrival. So we say, Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai, v'loi nasa lanu es ha-Torah, dayenu. Which seems absurd. We would have arrived at har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, dayenu. And you know what, Chazal being megalat us? We don't celebrate, we don't call the Yom Tov for receiving the Torah. We celebrated a day before. You know what we're celebrating? All the journey and the effort that went to get to har Sinai. Like the Ran, all the way in the Chiddush Yeran at the end of Psachim, talks about that for those 49 days, Kal Yisrael was oimeid, um mitzape, um mishtoikik, ad masa, yavoi, hayoim, hagadol, v'akadosh hazeh. It was the journey to arrive there. So it's called Shavuos. It's not the result, it's the effort that went into it. And I'll tell you another place where we see this. When Avram, it says, Avram was usarit zaken boim bayamim, a funny word, bringing days with them. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, what does it mean they brought their days with them? It means that every day of their life was like bronze, was special, was beautiful, and they brought the days with them. You know, like babies' shoes, the first set of baby shoes, some people, you know, they save them, they bronze them, they make a little gift out of them. Every day was encapsulated. So here's the question on the Zohar HaKadosh. The Rambam famously says, it's a Chazal, Rambam in Perek Aleph HaVayeh Zohar says, Avram was 48 when he hikir es boire, when he discovered, when he recognized, acknowledged the existence of Hashem. So how could you say Avram was bo bayamim when he was only 48? For the first 48 years, he was a shegetz. He was a pagan. But the answer is, what does the Rambam write about those first 48 years? Right? He says, when he got a little older, he started l'shoyteit b'daitei, to start thinking and questioning, v'lachshev b'yoyim u'b'layla, day and night, heich efsha sheyehe ha'galgol noyeg b'limanig, right? And then he fought with his father, v'libei m'shoyteit u'mevin, at shehissig derech ha'emes, v'yada sheyeshem aleika. For 48 years, he questioned, he asked, he sought, he searched, until on the 48th year he discovered the Rabbeinu Shalom. And you know what it says about those 48 years? They too were boyim bayamim. They were perfect years. The journey to get there counts just as much as the day of the arrival. So a possible answer to the Magen Avraham's question? We celebrate it the day before. We celebrate the 50th day of Sefira. We celebrate all the effort. And what does that mean? A lot of times the effort is during days of fear. Many times Avram went down blind alleys because Klal Yisrael celebrates the journey. And you know, the first time, the first chet in Bria, it says by the Bria, the first fruit, it says it was pre-Oisepri, pre-Eitz Oisepri. So Chazal say, what does it mean, Eitz pre-Oisepri? Should have said Eitz Oisepri? So Rashi says, it was supposed to be that the Tam Ha'Eitz was Ketam HaPri. Which really, what's the message there? But when you think of it, the giant tree, the wood and the branches and the leaves, they represent the great effort. And what is the purpose of the tree? To produce that fruit. The effort, the journey, and the fruit. So what does Rashi say? It was supposed to be the Eitz Pri-Eisepi, Tam Ha'Eitz Ketam HaPri, that we would recognize that the journey has the same value, the same gravitas, the same significance as the pre itself. Today, all we want is, I'm sorry, no deal, you didn't wire in time. All that counts is the results. But that's not the message of Klal Yisrael. For us, the journey is just as important. Eitz pre, Eitz pre, and that is how we celebrate Shavuos. The Gemara in Chagiga on Hey Amid Beis tells us a fascinating story about one of my heroes. The Gemara says that there was a man, his name was Rav Idi. He was the father of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. And he lived 3 months away from a yeshiva. So he used to leave his house the day after Pesach. He would travel for 3 months to get to yeshiva. He would stay in yeshiva for 1 day, learn all day, and then travel back to be home in time for Sukkot. 6 months of travel for a day in yeshiva. And the Gemara speaks about him in the most laudatory manner. And what's the message? 6 months of travel for 1 day? I mean, it doesn't seem like a very good IRR, rate of return. But if we understand that, no, we get schar for the journey, it becomes very understandable. It wasn't 1 day that was important. It was the 6 months that were important. And we call this magical person the Bar Beirav, the Chad Yoyma. So while we're all here on our journeys, not where we want to be, we're not in that Chad Yoyma, but remember, the Gemara says, the Barbi Rav, he was something really special. He understood that the Eitz Pri, Isa Pri, the Tamo Eitz, Ketama Pri, he knew the value of it. Why do I say that? Yeah, today, we're not further in our lives. Our jobs aren't, our careers, our learning, our shtelas, our schools. It's not, we're here. So we can look at it and say, when am I going to get to the end result? I just want to, I want the chasen, I want the diploma, I want the winning, I'm in kailo. And the answer is, by Kol Yisrael, the Shavuos count even more than the day itself. It's called Chag HaShavuos. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Savor the moment. Collect those coloring books. Put them in a box. Paper it, bronze it. All your moments, maybe we are exactly where we are supposed to be. Chag HaShavuos. Before we get on with our program, I want to say something, you know, fabulous. This is like an advertisement. We're in quarantine. Minyanim are difficult. Chavrusis, yeshiva, etc. We feel a little bit detached. So we created something fabulous. Go to ysm.live, yeshivashalmaila.live, ysm.live. And there's an entire calendar. We've created a yeshiva with the most fabulous Magidish Yurim from 6 in the morning all the way till 10 at night. You can look who's on the program, click, and boom, through Zoom, you're sitting, you're listening to a Rebbe, to a Magid Shir, to have friends in the Shir. And you know what? And you could argue. Most of the Shirim are not muted. You could ask Kashis, say Terutzim, bring Rias, Mamish back into the... And if you can't get to a Minyan, or Minyanim are very difficult, and I personally, you know, have only done it via Zoom, there's a Shachris, Mincha, and Meirev. Now, I personally believe that, and there's Paiskim Hall this way, that you can't create a Minyan via Zoom, but you could be Mitzaref to a Minyan. You can't say Kaddish, but you could answer Kaddish, right? It's a complicated sugya, not to be, you know, maybe we'll discuss it on the air at some point. I think we have a little bit. So you have Minyanim, Shiurim, and many hours have multiple Shiurim. Halacha, Hashkafa, Chasidus, Machshava, Daf Yomi a few times a day. Every type of Shiur, ysm.live. It'll take you out of quarantine, back to your days in yeshiva, chavrusas, etc. Let's go to our wonderful guests.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone from Washington, Hagoyin Reb Aaron Lapiansky. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Greater Washington. He was the son-in-law of the late Mir Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Shfinkel, the Talmud of Reb Nachum, Talmud Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He was a Rebbe for many years in Eish HaTorah as well as the Mir. He's written over 20 Sfarim, including Orchas Chaim, which is basically, I'm going to paraphrase it, life after yeshiva. How do you remain a Ben Torah forever? It's an honor to have you with us, Reb Aaron.
Thank you, Reb David.
Reb Aaron, so in the real life, in the not art scroll, hagiography life of of a Ben Torah, there's really only a limited amount of time.
Right.
So talk to us as somebody who wrote what the Novominska Rebbe called the modern day Misils Yesharim for Bnei Torah, certainly those who want to take it post yeshiva, on a limited amount of time, how do we juggle family time, children, our obligations to wife, which we accept in the Ksuba, a filamiglimid al katfoi, our obligations to children, and yet our obligations to learning, and there's so much to learn. How do we make an order? It's like these three things would be a full-time job, assuming we didn't have a job. How do we do that?
So if I knew the answer to that, then we would solve Kaisel's problems. So best we can do is we can sort of struggle. And like I said before, I hope the safer is over people to think, and I hope, Berov Yatz and Toshia, that there will be many good ideas and so on and so forth. But I, as far as the learning part went, I think the musig of turning learning into kvias is very important. In other words, when you're in yeshiva, you learn all the time, except when you're doing something else. A good Bach is sitting and learning, basically, unless there's a reason not to. But so the music being kovea, you know, yes, there's Sidrei Yeshiva, but by and large, he's hopefully learning more, and if he comes late in the morning, he stays way late at night. The idea of having set time is not as important. But once you leave that framework, you can't take that psychology with you, that mentality with you. There's a younger man. We used to have a vad in yeshiva. When we were younger light in yeshiva, we had four or five of us. And someone before Ben Azmani made the following observation. There are plenty of younger light who before Pesach are so busy, they don't have time to open up a sefer at all. But there's not a single younger man who doesn't daven three times a day. And he said he feels it's because davening has become part of kvias, and just like no matter how busy you are, you daven shachas, it might be quicker, it might be bumpier, but you're doing it. Learning needs to have the sense of kvias also. I once said pshat, I think it's the pashto pshat, and it's the emes, it says kavata itim la Torah. So, in Yom HaDin, they should be looking for tachlis, not for etzes. We come to Shemayim, they should weigh how many hours did we learn, under what circumstances, what do we accomplish. Kavat Yitim is a nice etza, how to get to it. But why is it that the Yom HaDin, we measure kavata instead of actual learning? And I think the pshat is something, let's say a person plays a lot of golf, and you make a lucky, and he played a lot more golf in his life than he did work in the office. But you don't call him a golf player, because the office he went to, no matter what, when he had to go, he went. Golfing was when he had time. So lahavdil, learning, if it's in the mode of when I have time, I learn a lot. So learning stops becoming, or it never started becoming, who we are. So I think the first thing is, as much as we kind of make fun of it, kvius is an extremely important element to make it on the same. It's as uncompromisable as davening is, as Netzel Yadayim is, etc.
So does it have to be every day, Rabbanon, or no? Kavat itim l'Torah could be once a week, could be twice a week. What would you say?
So that's kafiyashahu adam. In other words, the amount of kvias you're going to have will determine your general tzura. But kvias is the first point that has to start with. I would suggest, you know, if every day a person has some kvias, even a quarter of an hour, it's ain a doma, a person that has a kvias once a week, to every day, even if it's a quarter of an hour, if he's so harried in business and so on. The second thing I think is, and this is what I try to write the sefer, we need to move from an olam habadika mode of learning, which is tzadikim yoshevim v'nenin miziv hashchina. You sit in yeshiva and you have all the time in the world to sort of luxuriate in what you're learning in the sugya. The idea of accomplishment and achievement takes a back seat. As somehow we even feel that, you know, the institutions that have degrees and tests and courses and semesters are colleges, not yeshivas. But once you are part of a world where tachlis is a real part of it, if learning doesn't have set goals, then you're going to run into, you're run out of steam. What drove you in a yeshiva, the idea of just enjoying the svara and the sugya and the ligging and learning, once you're out there, achievement, accomplishment is very important. So having clear goals, like which prokemeglin, which mesechta, which set of halachas, whatever it is, you have to define your goal, and you have to have real achievements, which I mean, if you learn a perek mishnayis is great, do you know it? I'm not talking about taking a pin test, but can you sit down and take a test and get an 80 on the material you learned at the end of let's say, a winter or summer? Do you feel afterwards you know more than you did before? Those, I think, are critical ingredients, because it, just like you can't run a business without measuring quarterly and yearly profit margin, You can run a nonprofit that way and make much, much nonprofit, but you can't run a business that way. Once you're in that mode, learning needs to have clear goals. And maybe one more thing, when you make the transition, bear in mind you will have to readjust. Don't take on something and then you failed at it, so you feel a failure once, twice. It'll take you a tkuf of time to find out realistic goals, realistic careers, and things of that nature. Those are points I feel, are very important in that new framework for learning.
Can I ask you about a point that I think is sort of an auxiliary to this?
Yes.
I think that many people, when they leave yeshiva, struggle to learn because they don't have the geschmack in it.
Right.
So the question is, how would you, a guy comes home, he's worked all day, should he learn now chalitza psula?
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, oil of keitzam is be'ach, if he learned in brisk and wants to learn kachim. And a person sits down and they stare at the Gemara and it's just not happening. Could you give us some advice to the people who are searching for some place in learning that they will have a geschmack? First of all, is it correct and how do they go about it?
Well, having a geschmack is vital because if you won't, it's more that. It's not only a problem with whether you will do it or not, but if you don't have a sense about what you learned that was satisfying, it's going to be very difficult to keep doing it. The truth is, even in the transition to kolel, from yeshiva to kolel, you see a rapid change. You see many people who sat on chalitza psula as a yeshiva bacha and enjoyed it and felt good about it are now learning erevin and chulin and nida and so on, because there's something about the change in person when you get older, you mature, you want to have more. Halacha does tend to become the dominant learning. But what I would suggest for a person who enjoys Iyun, there are many less complex, I wouldn't say easy, Marshall, or Arachayim Inyanim, where you take Inyanim and you learn through, you can learn it to some depth. It becomes a very, very meaningful because you're going to be doing it. So it has the advantage of both allowing you some insight, and yet it's not, I mean, chalitza psula is so complex. You need to give it so much time. It's very hard to imagine somebody who's really engaged in a full job being able to even get into it. And besides, when you finish it, you have nobody to share it with. When you're doing an Arachayim Dekenyan, you can, it's a lot of it is manageable. And you can get a geschmack in it, and you can share it when you tell a Rav, what you think should be, a ha'ara and what people do. Things of that nature makes it a lot more concrete, I think.
Now, so someone who has a limited time to learn, what should he learn? Should he be learning Chumash, Mishnayos, Gemara, Halacha, Machshava, Musa? Well, how would you advise somebody?
So I wrote in the book, and I think there are certain minimal requirements. In other words, everybody must have some halacha said every day, even if it's 10 minutes. But it can't be that a person doesn't look over halachas. It's like the Chofetz Chaim says, it's not possible a person would be Shomer Shabbos if he doesn't know Hilchos Shabbos. And what we think we know, we really know. The real issue with that is finding a sefer that's appropriate. I've recommended to many people Chai Adam with Piskei Mishnah Brurah being a sefer that will give you the general idea of the halacha really well. Piskei Mishnah Brurah will bring you up to date on current minhagim. And if there's one place where the Chai Adam Paschal is not like the Mishnah Brurah, then, sitting in Gehenna with the Chai Adam is not a terrible problem. So I would suggest that, but a person must have at least 10 minutes a day or something similar to that, a half hour a week, where he learns through constantly halachas so that he refreshes the halachas he did know and learns, at least touches on things that he doesn't know. Musar is, I would take the word musar out and use the word inspiration. A person needs to have some learning kavua that will inspire him. It could be once a week. It has to be something where a person is generally inspired by it. And that also differs. You know, some people like the more Chassidish stuff, some people like the more sharp Musar of the Balei Musar. But at least, I would say once a week, it could be around Shabbos, a person learns something that inspires him. And the main limud is something Torah Shabbat Peh. It could be Mishnayos with the Rav and the Tosfos Yontif. It could be learning Simanim HaShulchan Aruch and learning the background a little bit to turn the Beis Yosef, or Gemara, and at some level, whatever level. That sort of is the meat of Torah.
And what do you feel about Bekiyas or Be'in? I know we're a year away from the Siyum HaShas Taf Yomi. What do you think of it?
So, ideally, Reb Nachum was master Reb Lezi Yudel in the Mir, and he said that the Rosh Hashiva taught us that Bekiyas without Iyun is not Bekiyas, and Iyun without Bekiyas is not Iyun. I once had a Rebbe, Zedeleps in Chayin of Racha. We were Bachim and asking Bekiyas Iyun. So he asked us the following question. You need a carpentry work done in the house. One guy shows up with the wood, but he doesn't have the tools. The other one has tools with no wood. Which one is better? And the answer is neither of the two are going to build the cabinet. Ideally, Iyun is supposed to shape your mind so that you instinctively learn something and look at the core of it. It's supposed to develop a skill. It's not supposed to be auxiliary. So at some point, it's supposed to be learning. I know my father was very annoyed. It's like when you learn something and you're a Lamdin, so whatever you're learning, the questions present themselves, and the need to answer presents itself, and your sense of how much time to spend, you know, those are all part of the experience of learning. So I would think that a person learn at a level where he feels he's learning it. If a person reads something and he feels he doesn't begin to get it, or there's so many problems with it that it's just he's more bewildered than he is enlightened, that's just learning. So technically, he maybe pick up some information. It, for that core learning that I was talking about, the Torah Shabbat Peh, whether it's Mishnayos, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Simanim Shulchan Aruch, a level of comfort where you're able to cover ground, but you still feel that you feel comfortable with the knowledge you're getting.
So the Daf Yomi then for a Ben Torah who learned Be'iyun is going to be frustrating.
It might be frustrating. It's good, you know, everybody has a dream at least once to learn through Shas in a way that is, you know, at least if I never get around to it, at least I've seen Krisus, at least I've seen Me'ila, at least I'll have seen Yevamos for the person who didn't. You know, learning it, so there's a certain inyan to that where a person at least made a Siyum on Shas. It's good for people. It's also good for somebody who pretty much has learned a lot. And this is a very good way to review it constantly and to get it down. Well, like the Rambam says, you know, once a person has the ideas of Torah, he has to review it and at a pace where he bears it. So it's a davar chashuv. If a person has time to find pieces where, if he has the time so that in different inyanim, he can be ma'ayin. The fayomis ma'ayin is, A, it forces you to keep a certain pace. It gives a tremendous sense of chevra, which is amazing. And hopefully people would have enough pre-knowledge that the Fayomi is part of a package, not just their only connection.
What do you say to the following, Rabbi Aaron? Here's a machlokes that's not commonly discussed, but I think it's a very important one. I know that there are people who are very into Chazara.
Right.
And it's a lapse over a little bit what we just discussed. And I know the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that if somebody's shecheach dover echad mishnasai because he didn't chazer it, he's over on a lav of hishamr lecho shmar nafshecha ma'od pentishkech hasadvarim. So the chazara, there are people, the chazara fanatics.
Right.
Now, I, growing up, also learning, I always felt chazara to be mind-numbingly just repetitious.
Right.
So, but then afterwards, I found the shitas of Chaim Volozhiner, which the Grizz discusses a number of times, where he said that there's no more lav. After Torah Shabbat Peh was written down, the lav of Pentishkach is not Bizman Hazeh anymore. fascinating. And everybody talks about the machloikas in between the Nefesh HaChaim and the Tanya and Tzimtzum. This is a fabulous machloikas that's not discussed. That Reb Chaim Volozhin says, and the way the Griz is Masbrit, he says, it's by Torah Shabal Peh, that's Nimser Midor L'Dor. They didn't want Torah to disappear. You know, the whole Mesira Miyad L'Yad of Torah Shabal Peh, you know, from Rebbe to his Talmud. But he says, after it was written down, the Halacha, the Talmud, and it's the Nifzika, everything, Ishmi, he said, there's no more Pentishkach. What are you? Are you a chassid of the chazara? Like, you know, you learn a mesechta, now go chazar mesechta. Go chazar is easy words. That's hundreds of hours of work. How do you, coming from just such a great lineage of Litvisha Gadlas, what's your opinion on this? What's your kabbalah on this?
I'm a strong proponent for different reason. You know, I'm not because of the love of forgetting and so on, not the frumkeit part of it. I think most Bachrim, I've been teaching Bachrim all my life, and I've been a Bachrim myself, until they don't go over the Gemara a lot of times, they don't know what they're talking about. A bright kid can hear a lecture, can hear a shir, can learn Gemara once, and he can make points, but he doesn't have his hands on the nitty-gritty of it.
That's not Chazara. That's talking about, it takes four times to learn a Gemara until we understand. I'm talking about you finish the Masechta, and now go repeat the Masechta.
So I would say the person needs to be able, so in my mind, the critical Chazara is A1, getting it down. And unfortunately, Bochum today don't understand that until you haven't done it 8-9 times, whether you do it, just sit by a standard 8-9 times, or over the week you're doing it, you don't have it the nitty gritty down. So I would say that's called chazara, but you're right, that's learning, not chazara. And also that a person should be able to at least have the general sense of the sugya. The person should be able to say what the basic point a machlokas is, and remember.
But that's learning, Rabban. I'm talking about post. You learn the sugya, you understand the sugya.
Right.
According to the Rav, you should be chazaring it constantly so that you're remembering. And my saying is, the Reb Chaim said you don't have to. Briskerov, I mean, many of the Litvishik Dalim said there's no lav anymore. And so now you have a choice. You spoke about learning being inspiring. The least inspiring learning imaginable is chazara. So you have a choice. You can go repeat, do over again what you did, get the facts, remember all the facts, reread, it's like rereading all the old contracts, or you can jump into something else that you're going to have a debate about, a discussion about. You know, I gave a share this week here in New York on Haliteu L'Rosh HaVeYamos.
Yeah.
Fascinating topic. Like, when are you allowed to be mekil on a? Could you look away from a one issa so that the person shouldn't be over on another issa? Like Abi Kiruv, all the halachas we spoke. We had Rabbi Willig. He said, you know, he says in our mikvah we take everybody except the single girl, and it's a big machlekes and achrayim. And people were yelling at each other, and everybody was alive, and it was at a trading floor. Everybody was trading before that. Now, just try to replace that with a chazarish here. So my question is, given that inspiration you mentioned is one of the key things of learning,
right?
I just wonder when I see chazara, when I see daf yomi, it's true we have to know the ideas, but who's getting inspired by it?
But
where is this? What debate and discussion are coming out of it?
Let me give you a marshal back from business world. Not my forte, but at least, you know, nobody gets inspired from the run of the mill, regular 9-to-5 job. You know, make your needs, and that's that. People look for the big deal, the big thing. But a person who only does that is setting himself up for failure. Yeah, 1 in 1,000 will succeed, but life consists of a lot of day-to-day. You know, you walk into Beis Medrash, and again, as a mechanech I'm talking about, it's wonderful to see that koch on a silence and so forth, but as time goes on and they don't feel they retain something, they don't have a complete picture, pieces in place, and I'm not talking about a memory of, you know, down to the pin and down to the, not that extraordinary, but still be able to say, listen, this is the divya sugya, this is the hartzos advarim. If as time goes on, you know, there's a, the koch is a momentary excitement, and it so when you compare the moment to the moment, it's like, wow. But when you compare it after a year and 2 years and 3 years, we start having problems. People also learn to be sloppy in things, and that's why that's where Blaise Udall's thing was. If a bucky came to him, he would pay him to say Shtickel Torah. If a lamdan came to him, he would pay him to, you know, to test him on sugyas, on gemaras. The point was, there's a tendency in both directions. You know, either it becomes a minor mechazor, people just argue which word says on what page, which makes for great stories, but it gives no geschmack to most normal people, and it's hard to find a justification for it. But the other side is, where people, you know, they get into the argument, they argue back and forth, they feel really good about it, and as time goes on, they feel they have nothing. And it's one of the problems that have come about in the other direction. So you can sit on a blot and spend a zman on a blot, coming up with all sorts of gewaltig machlokes achronim, and kids get excited. At the end, a zman goes by, another zman, a year, and so if a person feels he's been 10 years in the workforce learning, and he has down in yonim that he knows the structure and he has an overall sense of it, he may not remember it as if God, but he can, the information is not raw to him, then I think it's fine, that's good. But unfortunately, it becomes a lot of times, you know, the tendency is you replace methodical, structured learning with momentary excitement. It happens in yeshivas, and it happens certainly outside. So I'm wary, very wary of that.
So, Rabbi, I want to ask you, I'm a balabas, I come to you, and I say, Rabbi Lapyansky, I learned in yeshiva this and that. I have a half an hour a day to learn. I work very hard. What would you see? What would you tell me?
It would depend on your background.
I went to a good yeshiva.
I would definitely tell them to listen to headlines once a week. That would be definitely.
Okay. But what would you tell me? I'm a balabas. I went to the Mir, Chaim Berlin, Lakewood, whatever, all the good yeshivas. They're all wonderful. And I say, you know, I got a job. I'm an accountant. I have a house full of kids. I just am maxed out. I could do a half an hour a day. Yeshiva, tell me, what should I learn?
So, like I said before, I would pick some study halacha to do. Something
like what? Give me Baruch B'Tzach Tana. What should I learn?
I happen to like Chai Adam.
Okay, you should learn Chai Adam. Okay. And just start from the beginning. Start Chai Adam from okay. Siman Aleph. Yeah.
Right. It's not a phenomenally big sefer, but I would also use, by the way.
You know the story, the Chai Adam. You know, Rabbi Aaron, you know why he called it Chai Adam?
Yeah, there shouldn't be kitzah, yeah.
Yeah, see, it's a small sefer. Okay, see. Yeah, say, you should learn some Chai Adam, and what else? That's 15 minutes. What do I do with the rest of my...
Once a week to find a sefer that inspires him, a Musa sefer, something on the Tzedge and so on.
Like what? Give me some names.
It runs the gamut. Some people like Mesil Tisharim, some people like Sfas Emes, some people like the Musa Shmuzin of Reb Chaim. It doesn't make a difference.
The Sichas Musa, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is that...
Okay, he should take a half an hour, 1.5 hours, he should learn something like that. What else?
And then I would say, for the main learning, let's pick in Yanim, let's say in Orach Chaim, that you can... learn and be Mayan a little bit. So you take a simon, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. You learn a little bit about the Shrashim of Kriyas HaTorah, the main points, the sugis, this. When you finish, you're able to sum it up on a sheet of paper so that you have a feeling, I learned through it. At what level? The Gemara with Taisvis and the Ran, and the Machaba and the Ramah. That's fine. But I know something. I have something I know. And there's many in Yonim like that a person can do. There's in Yonim Chayim, there's some in Yonim Yerdeya, you know, kind of.
So you would learn Chai Adam with Piskei Mishneh Berurah. Once a week you'd learn Mesil Shishar, Mesasema, Sasichas Musav, Reb Chaim, a Sefer like that, or whatever you inspires you. And for your main language, you would say, take a Simon in Reb Chaim, learn it with Torah Beis Yosef, and try to understand it and debate it.
Right. So And the main thing is a person should every so often sit down and make a cheshbon nefesh. Can I do more? Is this going? Am I trapped in something that's not going? Those are all things that, it's such a, there are so many different people and so many different possibilities that, today we know medically, it used to be a doctor gave a prescription of Shalma Yisrael. Today, they understand that each person is different, and they keep on reevaluating. Is this doing the job? Is this too strong, too quick? In this also, a person shouldn't just kind of just make a decision and stay with it. It'll take time till you figure out. And the tkuf is in life. You have sometimes more harried schedule, sometimes less harried schedule. And hopefully people will develop more and more mischem.
And what do you say to the person who says, I have no time. If I take away time from if I learn, I'm taking the moments I have from my wife and children. How would you respond to that?
I would say the quality of the person that will be there for his wife and children is different. Nobody said that about davening, and the answer is, if a person would understand that if his tzura is not ruchni, then what his wife and children are getting is not a tzura of a real father, then it's something that is going to take its toll in terms of how's he bring up his kids. If kids never see a father learning, if kids don't get that at all, where will they go with it? Everyone is short on time. I know that. And everyone is tired. I know that. But to say that a person can't take some time out, and it will change him if a person's learning and he's pushing himself to learn, I believe he will be a gentler, more noble-spirited husband. I think the kids will see in him a person who has a chashivas himself that he can look up to. I definitely believe that in quality-wise, it'll add a lot to his role as a husband and a father.
Rabbi Aaron Lapshansky, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Rabbi David, very nice speaking with you again. Kol tov,
bye-bye. Smach zulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar b'yalecha, birchas Moshe. Rejoice zulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar. So I have a question. Every other Shevet got their own bracha. Yisachar got his own bracha. But here in middle of Zvulun's bracha, what happens? Yisachar comes barging in. Smach zvulun b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar b'yalecha. So the Chidush HaRim in the Yimrei HaRim says something really nice. He says, no, that's not the pshat. Smach zvulun, talking to zvulun. Zvulun, rejoice b'tzeisecha and remember zvulun that v'yisachar b'yalecha, you should act as yisachar b'yalecha. You could be out in the world all day, flying, dealing, writing, litigating, earning. But when you come home, Yisachar b'yalecha, take out a Gemara Baba Kama. So it's the fusion of two worlds. And it's interesting, where else do you see it? When Zvulun is born, what does it say? Yizhapam yizbeleini ishi, Sarashi says, Yaakov moved in full time into Leah's abode. Yizbeleini ishi, Miloshin beis zvul. Now it's interesting. Yaakov is always neged Torah. Yaakov is the ishtam yoshev ahalim. He's mesamol v'amud ha-Torah, titin emes li-Yaakov. And he moves into Leah's abode when she gives birth to the merchant, to the banker, to the investment banker, the real zvul. It seems very paradoxical. Let me suggest an answer. Isn't Torah, given to Klal Yisrael, what does it say? Moshe went up to heaven, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Peches says, and the Malachim said, why are you giving a human the Torah, the holy Torah? So Moshe, Rabbeinu Shalom, said, Moshe, answer them. So he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, what did he say? It says, what does it say in the Torah? He asked the Malachim, do any of you have an issue with Avodah Zarah? Do you have this Yetzirah? Do you live in this world? It says, Zachar Hashem HaShabbos L'Kadshei. Do you do work that you should have to rest? It says, L'Sisa. He asked, is there Matu Matin? Do you do business? So what did Moshe say? Give me the Torah because I can make the Torah real, I could fuse it to the world. So what is Kabbalah Satayra about, Moshe teaches? The fusion of two worlds. The world we live in, the world of Zvulun, and the world of Yisachar. And really, you know, what do we eat? There's only one mincha that comes from chametz, right? What is that? Atzeres. What is matzah? Is pure flour, water, no salt, no yeast. Chametz, it's a fusion. It has in it delicious things. It has yeast, sourdough, etc. It blows up. It's the fusion of two worlds. When we have the Torah, we can eat chametz. Because all Kabbalah Satayra, what is the Shtei Alechem? The Lechem Ruchnius, the Lechem of Gashmius. And what is the story of Rus? It says in Rus, Vateira ki misametzes hi lalechem. She wanted to go. So what does Rashi say? Misametzes hi lalechem. She brings the Gemara in Yuvamas on Mem Zayin. It says, lalechem. He says, she was trying to go. She says, I want to tell you about Chum Shabbos. Basher telchi elech. What does it mean, Bashar? When you read it, it sounds so romantic. Bashar tel chielech, Bashar talini olin, alaykayech alayki, Bashar tamusi amos. And Rashi says, no, it's not talking about going, traveling, etc. Kashar tel chielech, tchum Shabbos, talini olin, isa yichud, amcha ami, avaydes kechavim, alaykayech alayki, arba mises bezim. She's talking Dvarim Gashmian, and Rashi says, no, it's really all about spirituality. The message of Rus, the message of Shavuos, the message of Yisachar Zvulun is really about fusing two separate worlds. And I'll tell you something else. The Gemara in Erevin says, Rabbi Yochanan says, if Torah wasn't given, we would learn Sneas from a cat. Gezel from an ant, Arias, Meyoin, etc. Torah is telling us something very deep here. Do you often feel, and many times I do, that we live in this world, and superimposed on this world are all these dinim and dinim and dinim, rules and rules and rules, just like a cloak put on this world, maybe to make us unhappy, to make life difficult? The Gemara says a whole different look at it. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? He says, if you look in the Torah, you would find the reality of the creation. What does it say? There's an Issa Gezel? The ants act that way. The Torah is a revelation of what this world is, of reality. It's in harmony with reality. It synchronizes with reality. It's not a cloak on reality. Do you know, the Medrash says that in this world, when we do things on Shabbos, we don't understand. You pick a date, you pick a thing. It says, Amar Reb Shimon B'Shem Reb Shimon Chasida. What's going to happen in the next world? He says, when you pick a Te'ena, the Te'ena is going to scream, it's Shabbos! It's Shabbos! Shabbos is reality. The world rests on Shabbos. The Torah, when we learn the halacha, it's megala something in reality that maybe we don't see. There are people who do see it. Torah is not superimposed on reality. It's a harmony. When we daven mincha, when we daven shachris, we open up the windows to let the sun in. When we daven mincha, we push the sun away. We send it home. And when we daven ma'ariv, we open up our arms to the great darkness. It synchronizes with reality. It's not superimposed. Here's a wonderful story about how one tzaddik could see how Shabbos came into this world. B'chush.
You know, very few rabbis had the privilege of being called holy, as much as they were very holy. But to be called holy by the other tzaddikim is very special. There was one Rebbe, the Heilige Rishne. Our hearts shiver when we just mention his holy name. He was a descendant of the Maggid of Meserich, and he was really the descendant of King David. in a certain deep way, he restored a little bit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of King David. You know, there were rabbis who were teachers, and then there were rabbis who were kings. Rishon was the king. Okay, today, thank God, we have a 747 and a Concorde. But this is about 180 years ago. The Heilige Tzemach Tzedek, the president of Avraham Rebbe's great-great-grandfather, wanted so much to be in Rishon, because I want you to know, all the tzaddikim, all the holy rebbes went to the holy Rishon, but somehow he was already old and he couldn't do it. So he said to one of his biggest chassidim, Rabbi Isaac Komner, the Heilige Rabbi Isaac Komner, please make your way to Rishon. Rishon is near Kiev, is in the Ukraine, and Lubavitch is in White Russia, and be there for one Shabbos and tell me what's happening. And everybody knows there were certain times when nobody was permitted to be in the Rishon's room together with him. And one of those special times was a few minutes before Shabbos. But the Heilige Rishon was told that the Tzemach Tzedek sent a special young man to be with him. So he sent word to him, come to be with me 10 minutes before Lichtbenchen, 10 minutes before Shabbos. You can imagine Rabbi Isaac Komner prepared himself, and he was certain 10 minutes before Shabbos he'll walk into the Rishon's room. The Rishon is sitting with his Shtreimel, and most probably he is going over the Parsha of the week, preparing himself for Shabbos. But it wasn't so. He's ushered in to the holy room of the holy Rishon, and here the Rishon is smoking a pipe, and the whole room is filled with smoke. How much the Rishon is smoking out the world. The Rishon is filling the whole world with the incense of the high priest. And it's getting later. Rabbi Isaac Komner is sitting there in silence, shivering inside. But he said, oh yeah, it's getting late for Shabbos, only 2 minutes before Shabbos. And the Rishon is still smoking his pipe. Exactly the time of Lichtbenchen, for the split second, the Rishon put out the pipe and says to him, Russisher great rabbi, come with me to the window. I'd like to show you something. And you and I, closing our eyes and going with him, Gewalt. Wish one time in my life I could take my children to that window. Listen to me. The Heilige Rishon looked out from the window and he says to him, young man, do you see? Can you see the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the clouds of the weekdays making place for the clouds of Shabbos? Can you see the sky of the 6 days of the week making place for the sky of Shabbos? Can you feel the wind? Can you feel the wind of the 6 day of the week making place for the wind of Shabbos? Can you see the whole world, the world of the 6 day of the week making place for the world of Shabbos? Good Shabbos. Lechodaydi likras kalo, b'nei Shabbos nikablo.
And you know, in Sheshek, they bring that, they say over that, the Sfas Emes recounts, he says when he went to the Kotzke for the first time, the shamish of the Kutzker, a Pfeivel, was screaming. He said, we have to lock things up because people come and they steal things. There was Hefkeris. He says, the Kutzker Rebbe overheard him and he said, they steal things? And he gave a shri. He says, how could they steal? It says, Lay Sigzail. It was a reality to him. And that's Pshat of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Psachim and Daf Samaches, Hakol Moedim, even though many other Yom Tovim, Pesach, Sukkis, Rosh Hashanah, there's no Lachem, everybody's Moedim, that on Shavuos of all days, yes, you should rejoice and feast and eat. Shavuos, day of Kabbalah, Satorah, day of feasting and eating of Lachem, and the answer is yes. What's the Torah about? The Torah is about fusing two worlds. Smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar b'yalacha. If you can bring them together. So here's my question. I'm a working person. And I get this question pretty often. You know, work is pretty aggravating. It's a very competitive world out there. How? We know that it's supposed to be v'yisachar b'yalacha. How do we create Yisachar Bayalacha? You've just come home, you've traveled, you had all kinds of issues that work has, the everyday of work, and you want to sit down and open up your Masechtas Baba Kama, Masechtas Shat, whatever it may be. How do you do it? What are the tools you need? So let me suggest a few tools that I was makabel from my minor rebbes. I try to use them. Maybe I could share them with you. And, you know, there's one tool, it's called compartmentalizing. And I heard this over, you know, there's a concept of terasei umnasei. What is terasei umnasei? Terasei umnasei is somebody, his whole life is only Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Reb Shimon bar Yochai was terasei umnasei. So one of the, I don't remember where I saw this, but one of the great Chassidish Sfarim says, every person has the option also of being Terasei Umnasei. What does that mean? While you're learning, elect that you should be Terasei Umnasei. If it's an hour a day, a half an hour, whatever it is, for that hour, I am Terasei Umnasei. You know, I heard over from my father, Zecharon Levracha, there was a Yid called Reb Shamala Astropala. There's a lot of legends about him. So they said he came to this city and he was very, you know, those days they would go to Shul Shabbos, hope somebody invited him. So he asked, where should I get invited to? He said, you know, the Reish HaKol, his wife is a wonderful cook, but don't go there for Shabbos. He outwits everybody. He doesn't like to be machdesar, so what does he do? His wife brings the food, she puts it on the platter in the middle. The balabas then turns around and asks you a question. While you're answering the question, the guest is answering the question, he eats up all the food. So he said, nobody ever gets fed over there. So Hashem Shul Shul said, no problem, I'm going to try it. So he goes there. He sits down, they wash. Wife brings out a plate of fish. Balabas turns to him. He says, which city are you from? He says, I'm from Ostra. He said, Ostra, how's the Reish HaKol Reb Zalman? And he starts reaching for the fish. So Reb Shalom Astropola says, he died. You didn't hear? This guy said, he died. I can't believe it. I just did a whole masu matan with him. He turns to his wife while he's talking. Reb Shalom Astropola finishes the whole bowl of fish. Palabas turns around. Okay, he didn't have fish. The wife brings in the next course, farfel, tzimis. And he starts reaching. He says, and how's the Rav of the city, Reb Berla? He said, Reb Berla? You didn't hear that he also died? He said, what are you talking about? Reb Berla died. He used to be with me in yeshiva. Was such a masman. I mean, Reb Shalom Astropola cleans out the tzimis, the farfel. Okay, they bring in the chicken. He asked him one last thing. And how is the famous mayor who everybody thought was going to run for, you know, the guy, you know, Jerome? He says, you didn't hear about his amazing death? He said, I can't believe it. I don't. Meanwhile, he eats up the chicken. Finally, the Balabas, he says, everybody died? So he said to him, wenn ich es, in der ganze Welt gestorben. When I eat, the whole world is dead. There's a word for Reb Chaim Stutchener. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he writes in the Sichas Musa, he says, on Shabbos, there's an Isser of Soiser to break, to destroy. But it only destroys a makalkal. The only time you chayiv, if it's al manas livnais, if you're going to use it to build, then it's a masakein. But it has to be livnais bimkaimai. So the Gemara asks, you learn it from the Mishkan. The Mishkan always traveled. It was never bimkaimai. So the Gemara says, since it was al pi Hashem, it's always kimakaimai. If you're traveling with the word of God, you're always bimakaimai. So Reb Chaim Shalevit said, it's like a child. If you ask a child in its mother's arm, where are you? Does he say, I'm in Manhattan? Does he say, I'm in Italy? He says, I'm in my mother's arm. He says, wherever, since it's Al-Pi Hashem, it's always B'mekaymei. And I think that there's a message to that, to our lives too. Very often something happens, we have a terrible day at work. And we say, just what a waste. How aggravating, and you come home and you can't take your mind off it. You can't eat supper. You can't open a Gemara. But you know what? If everything we do is we are on a mission, al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yiso, we earn to be able to support our children, to give tzedakah, to contribute to the world. It's all al pi Hashem yachnu. So you know what? All that happened, even the stira, it's the kamakaimai dummy. It's all part of our mission. It's like Yosef said to his brothers. He says, "You atem chashavtem alay l'ra, but you know what? L'michya shlachani aleichem. The Rebbeinu Shalom had other ideas. I was following the Rebbeinu Shalom's orders. I never lost my smile. It was always al pi Hashem yachnu. So all that grief to somebody who is a maimon, it's al pi Hashem yachnu. It shouldn't really hurt us. I think another important point. When we come home, and that day, maybe we can't learn, is to learn self-forgiveness. You know, even Yaakov Avinu, who was Taira, what does it say? He learned for 14 years by the house of Shem Ve'ever. And yet the same Yaakov Avinu, what does he tell Lavan? Zeli Esrim Shana B'Veisecha. For 20 years, right? Trefele Hevesi Alecha. Gnuv Siyoim. He says, "Hayisi b'yoyim achalani chayre v'kerach balayla v'atidad shnasi me'enai." For 20 years, I took care of your sheep. I froze at night. I shivered at night. I was exhausted. It doesn't sound like those years necessarily. He did a lot of learning. So I think another point is we can be self-forgiving. There are going to be days that it is going to be hard. Here's another thing that you can do. If it's been a hard day, you want to learn and you say, how could I learn? It was so difficult. I encountered so many dogs, barking dogs, so many jerks. There was a study done, Shtoyli Nechuseyama, that addicts who developed terminal illnesses often leave their addiction, a heroin addict, etc. Why is that? They weren't able to survive life. Life was too painful. They needed drugs. But suddenly, when they realize they only have 3 months left, the realization that life is beautiful hits them in the eye so strongly, the beauty of life grasps them. They don't need the drugs that they needed the rest of their life. They fall away, the beauty of it. I think part of it is, it's true there's a lot of aggravation, zvulun b'tzeisecha, but on the other hand, the Torah is so beautiful. Do you know the Gemara says there was a man, the Yamar, the Gemara in Chagig and Daf Hei says, Rev Idi Avud Rev Yaakov Aridi, he used to travel for 6 months to learn one day in yeshiva. Imagine 3 months each way to learn for one day. So beautiful and precious was one daf of Gemara by him. So I think sometimes there's so much aggravation. But recognize there's so much, that one daf, that one vart, that one pasuk chumash is so beautiful that we can be a sachar by halacha.